Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Trying to build that muscular beach body? Maybe you need some help. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to this month's health lesson. It's April 20th. My name is Garrett, and it is good to have all of you with us. Speaking of health, we hope all of you are having a healthy spring. I think our topic today is very good for this season. We certainly have a lot to talk about, and Linda is here with us.
Hi, Garrett. Hi, everyone. It's great to be here to talk about our health article.
Right. Sometimes when we talk about health, we're talking about maybe preventing illness or new therapies to deal with certain ailments or pains in our body. Today, we're talking about some different ways that maybe we can improve our body through kind of health and exercise and some ways to help that out.
Right. Yes. So in previous articles, we have talked about supplements, like health supplements that you take to improve your health, also to help your body get all of the nutrients that it needs or lacks. So this idea of supplements is not new.
Absolutely, yes. Supplements, something kind of extra other than just the normal things you eat, maybe. I'd say often we use the term vitamins, mm-hmm. but supplements is a little bit more broad than that. It
right.
includes some other things that are useful to your body you might not otherwise be getting. I certainly take quite a few supplements every day. Hopefully it helps. Sometimes it's kind of hard to tell.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't know how much of the supplement your body is absorbing because we usually take them in the form of a tablet or a pill or even gummies. So it's different the way your body absorbs nutrients through the supplements versus through food.
That's a good point. Well, one thing that will be in our article today that I found really interesting is that the increase of the use of the thing we'll be talking mm-hmm. about today popped up a lot or increased during COVID-19. And Linda, I wanted to ask you, what are some trends that you noticed during COVID-19, and especially ones that you participated in or really made a part of your routine? And have you continued them to this day?
Yeah, I noticed, and this I think was obvious to everyone, because people were at home, they couldn't go out, they started working out more.
Yeah.
They did a lot of exercise at home because it was a way to stay in shape and also to do something because you would go crazy being stuck at home. So a lot of people were working out, and maybe they didn't even work out before, but this was a time to do it because you had all this time. So a lot of people got buff during COVID because, you know, they had all this time to work out. And although we were here in Taipei, we weren't forced to stay home, but my normal workout that I do with a group, we moved it to online so people could be at home and do the workout. So I started working out at home. I had never really done that before because I would have to do it by myself. And it took a lot of motivation to do that. But with other people online, I was able to work out at home. And I've maintained some of that. It's much harder to just be motivated on my own. But since I did that, I'm like, okay, I know I can do it. So I just maybe need to turn on a video or something and then do a little workout on my living floor.
Absolutely.
Living room floor.
Yeah. I think of exercise too. I think some of the changes were because of COVID for me. Some weren't. I used to hike a lot before COVID. Mm-hmm. And And just because we were encouraged not to go out right. quite as much, that change just suddenly happened in my life where I wasn't going hiking anymore, and I just haven't been able to pick it up again. On the other hand, I did, toward the end of the pandemic, toward the end of really our major experience with it, I started lifting a lot of weights. If you see me today, friends, you might not notice that. I've struggled to keep it up over the years, but it is something I enjoy a lot, and I do from time to time. Well, we will talk about lifting weights, maybe why people do it, and how certain substances or supplements can help people achieve their goals in a faster and easier way. Let's jump into our article. As we're talking about a supplement called creatine, our article is called Growing Muscles, Growing Markets. Let's jump in.
Growing muscles, growing markets. Women and older adults are driving sales of creatine higher. Creatine is shedding its gym bro reputation, unlocking lucrative new markets as women and older Americans get wise to the benefits of the long-stigmatized supplement. Sales are booming as a result. As the COVID-19 pandemic put health and well-being front and center for many Americans, creatine started riding the same wave that pushed up demand for anything from high-protein food products and weight loss drugs to an interest in weightlifting among other lifestyle changes. Vitamin and supplement seller GNC, which has over 4,000 locations across the U.S., has seen creatine sales surge 75% from 2020. Creatine is now in more baskets than almost any other supplement we carry, said Mark Butera, GNC's Vice President of Merchandising. Consumer demographics are changing too. Women now account for 30% of all creatine purchases at the retailer, up from 18% in 2020, while buyers' average age has risen to 35 years from 30.
All right. Thank you, Campbell, for reading that for us. Our article starts off with a little line at the top there. Women and older adults are driving sales of creatine higher. So more and more people are buying this supplement. Now, Linda, I assume you've heard of creatine before.
I have, yes. But I, as we'll learn in the article, there's an association that creatine has with like other things. And that still isn't like my idea or what I think of creatine. Still has that kind of negative association.
Sure. I think a lot of people feel that way. One of those reputations is in our first line here. Creatine is shedding its gym bro reputation. Now, gym bro is kind of a term that describes a certain kind of person.
Someone, specifically a male, who loves to work out. They take pride in how their body looks, and they spend a lot of time at the gym. So to get those muscles, you need to put in time lifting weights and working out. And so because they spend all this time in the gym, they're called gym bros or gym rats.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say the term gym rat is more associated just with like really loving the gym and spending a lot of time there. Whereas gym bro kind of carries a whole culture behind it, not just time in the gym, but ways of speaking and acting and dressing probably. And so there's a lot behind that. When people think of creatine, they often do think of these guys, but creatine is shedding or letting go of that reputation, unlocking lucrative new markets or markets that make a lot of money as women and older Americans get wise to the benefits of the long stigmatized supplement. So women and older Americans are usually not people we'd call gym bros.
Exactly. Yeah. So they specifically mention these groups because they are not typical gym users or the gym fanatics. And they're also not reputation-wise, into bodybuilding or using supplements to get big muscles, that has been associated with these gym bros who like want to get as big as possible, you know, get as big a muscles as possible.
Yeah. And so we're seeing here that creatine is long stigmatized. If something has a stigma attached to it or is stigmatized, that means it has something negative attached to it. When people think of it, they think of some negative reputation that it has. And we see sales are booming as a result, as that stigma is going away in some ways. Well, as the COVID-19 pandemic put health and well-being front and center for many Americans, creatine started riding the same wave that pushed up demand for anything from high-protein food products and weight loss drugs to an interest in weightlifting, among other lifestyle changes. It's a pretty long sentence there.
Let's Linda, break it down, yeah.
let's specifically just talk about this phrase to ride a wave.
So this idiom, it means to enjoy a time of success or popularity. So creatine was riding the same wave as something else. So it's kind of piggybacking on this trend, this popularity of eating high protein food or consuming high protein food products and getting into weight loss and being healthier. So it was able to enjoy popularity along with this trend.
Yeah, I'd say the wave here is the popularity of things that promote healthy lifestyles or healthy living. That wave is pushing up demand for these other food products, like high-protein food products, and then creatine rides that same wave to also get popularity. So all of these things are becoming popular at the same time. We continue that vitamin and supplement seller GNC, it has a lot of locations across the U.S., 4,000 of them, and sales are surging. We hear a quote from Mark Butera, the vice president of merchandising. What does he say?
He says that creatine is now in more baskets, shopping baskets, than almost any other supplement that they carry. And GNC is probably the most popular or the largest supplement seller in the United States. I see them everywhere.
Absolutely.
I go. And I think it stands for General Nutrition Center. But yeah, everybody knows it as GNC.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever walked into one, but I've certainly seen them all over.
Yeah.
You can buy those things elsewhere, but it is kind of the most popular retailer specifically of those things. So you'll see maybe a lot of gym bros in there. What does merchandising mean here?
So that refers to how a company sells its products, so how they are marketed.
Okay. All right. So consumer demographics are changing too. So the kinds of people that are buying things. Women now account for 30% of all creatine purchases at the retailer. That's up from 18% in 2020. That's a big change. And the average age has risen from 30 to 35. Now, I don't know about you, Linda. When I read this section for the first time, I was imagining how they get those statistics. Hmm. Is there like something the cashier punches in at GNC whenever they sell something? It's like, is this a woman or a man? What age are they? Because no one asks those questions, I don't think.
Yeah, they probably get it from, well, now people buy things online, right?
Sure.
So you can probably gather that information more easily because that demographical information is included maybe in their payment information. But yeah, at the retailer, I don't know. I'm not sure how they do it. Maybe
other surveys that they do. Anyways, they've been able to get this information and they see these trends. Again, those consumer demographics are changing. Well, we have more to learn. Specifically, what exactly is creatine? What does it do? And why do people want to buy it? Let's get into our next section.
What it is and isn't. Creatine is a naturally occurring compound produced by the body for energy production. indirectly contributing to muscle growth by enabling more training. It's different from protein, which supplies the materials for actual tissue growth. Research into creatine, first discovered and isolated in 1832, has largely focused on adult male athletes, with new inquiries increasingly focusing on the benefits beyond muscle building, including on bone and cognitive health across all ages and genders. Allschem Group AG, the most prominent creatine producer outside China, is a major funder of such research, supporting studies of over 30 scientists in female health, longevity, and cognitive performance. Allschem doubled its production capacity in 2022 amid exceptionally strong demand. Enthusiasm aside, creatine supplements alone won't result in the rapid body transformations touted online. Creatine is both underrated because there's a lot of people that are still kind of fearful of creatine and there's so many benefits to it, but I also think it's one of the most overrated supplements as well, said Scott Forbes, an associate professor at Brandon University studying creatine's effectiveness on athletic performance and brain health.
What it is and isn't. That's a good statement for anything we're trying to learn more about. We read creatine is a naturally occurring compound produced by the body for energy production.
And so that's something that I learned. I thought creatine was produced, like it was something that was not naturally occurring.
Right, just something from a laboratory
right,
or something.
Artificially produced, yeah.
Well, you think about things that help with sports performance. Obviously, one of the biggest things is testosterone.
Mm.
But of course, that's also something
that's
that naturally
true.
Occurs.
Yes.
You just want more of
mm-hmm.
it. And so creatine is kind of similar in that way. It's produced by the body for energy production, indirectly contributing to muscle growth by enabling more training. So the reputation creatine has is producing big muscles.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of true, but in an indirect way. It doesn't actually create those muscles. It just gives you more energy or the capacity to do more, gives you more muscle mass during the time that you're training, which allows you to do more. You can lift heavier weights. You can pick them up more times. And that gives your body more opportunities to grow that muscle without growing it directly.
Right, which is different from protein. Protein is actually what allows you to create those muscles, what those muscles are made out of. So protein supplies the materials for the actual tissue growth.
Absolutely. And so the important thing here would be if you were taking creatine, you can't ignore protein. You
exactly.
would need both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the biggest comparison as we're thinking about things that build muscle with a bad reputation would definitely not be protein, but things like other harder steroids.
Mm-hmm.
You think of really big bodybuilders or weightlifters or athletes or even Hollywood actors, take a lot of steroids, and those are getting injections, and they're often quite unhealthy and very right. illegal in a lot of sporting
yes.
competitions.
Yes, in athletic competitions, they are banned. Like, you are not allowed to use performance-enhancing drugs, and steroids do that. They give you an edge, so they are not allowed. And many athletes have gotten into trouble from using these performance-enhancing drugs, either intentionally or unintentionally.
And so I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Steroid is one of the words we'll be learning in tomorrow's lesson as we continue this article. But it is something to compare with creatine. But we learn more about the research. Research into creatine was discovered and isolated in 1832. So it was isolated or separated from other compounds. Has largely focused on adult male athletes. And new inquiries increasingly focus on the benefits beyond muscle building, Linda, what are some of those?
They include bone and cognitive health, not just for adult male athletes anymore, but covering a wider range of ages and genders.
And as people learn more about that, yeah, again, more and more people will be purchasing this product.
Yeah. I actually have friends who I never thought, you know, they're definitely not bodybuilders or gym bros, but they are into using creatine for some of these benefits. It's to better their health and to allow them, yeah, to kind of reap some of these benefits.
Yeah. And I'll say before we continue, I have taken some things to help me out with weightlifting during my journey with that. I have never had creatine. I think the main stumbling block for me is just paying for it. Mm. So maybe someday.
Oh, we'll see. It expensive here?
I don't know exactly.
Okay.
I haven't really looked into it. It's just one extra thing.
True. A friend, he was living abroad. I think he was living in Eastern Europe. And he said he was able to get creatine so much cheaper. So he bought some and then brought it back and was offering it to everyone in my fitness group. Do you want some creatine? Because it's so cheap where he lived. Yeah. So.
All right. So more and more people are taking it. And read where people are getting this. Al's Chem Group AG is the most prominent creatine producer, or the most important, maybe the biggest producer outside of China. And they fund a lot of research. We see one other thing it helps out with is the word longevity.
Yes. So longevity refers to how long someone lives. So usually we want to increase or enhance our longevity so that we can live longer.
Yeah. So that's along with a lot of those other benefits. They doubled their production capacity in 2022. Amid exceptionally strong demand, lots of people wanted it. Enthusiasm aside, though, creatine supplements alone won't result in the rapid body transformations touted online. That's another great word for us to talk about, to tout something.
Yeah, so when something is touted, it's praise. Like all of the great things are talked about or written about, but it's done in order to persuade people, usually to buy something or to buy into something. So things that are touted, don't necessarily believe everything is true about it, because the bottom line is to get you to purchase it.
Sure. Something could be touted because people are trying to sell it or because it's really great. So be careful what you purchase online.
Anything that's also tells you that it's going to give you a rapid change, you will change overnight. Don't believe that. Like, that will not happen. So everything, like proper change or transformation, takes time.
Yeah. And so we're saying that with creatine here. It is something that's helpful. It brings a lot of benefits, but it's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It's a process. It's just something to help out with all the other things that you're doing. We have a quote at the end here from Scott Forbes, an associate professor at Brandon University. Sounds like someone's name got put into that university there. And he says, creatine is both underrated, because there's a lot of people that are still kind of fearful of creatine and there's so many benefits to it. But I also think it's one of the most overrated supplements as well.
Okay, yeah. He thinks it's both underrated and overrated. And he gives his reasons, because like, how can they be both at the same time? But it's underrated because, yeah, people have this negative association with it. So they immediately just reject it. But it's also overrated because it's being touted online as this wonderful thing. Like, you're going to get muscles, like, quickly, and it's not going to do that much. So, but it also is not going to harm you in the way that people are fearful. So it's somewhere in between, like those fears and then that praise that it gets online.
It sounds like a contradiction, but I think the important thing is It's not one person saying it's underrated and overrated. It's different groups of people that have had different associations or experiences with creatine. And so it kind of depends on what group you're in or what you've heard about it.
Right, who you talk to.
Yeah. Well, again, this researcher studies creatine's effectiveness on athletic performance and brain health. And I will say one of the other benefits of it for people especially that are into bodybuilding. So if you like to lift weights, there are many different types of competitions or reasons that you could do it. You might be a power lifter. Those are people that try to lift the heaviest weights they can to break records. Or you might be a bodybuilder. Those are people that try to look really good and have big muscles. And so for them, creatine is really useful because it helps your muscles and your body hold a lot of water in it at the same time. And so everything just kind of looks a bit bigger.
Okay.
So if you want to look like you're in the gym all the time, creatine's pretty good too.
Okay. I don't have any of those aspirations. So that's probably why I've never thought of using creatine. Also, you know, because it, you know, has that negative association. But hearing more friends use it, it has less of that stigma to me now. So it's not as harmful as I thought it was, but I don't think I'm at the point where I actually need it. Until I need to like really build muscle for something, yeah, I probably could do without it.
Well, that is fair, friends. We have more to say about creatine, about the benefits, about the controversies, but we'll have to wait until tomorrow. Thank you for joining us today. For now, my name is Garrett.
I'm Linda.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.